Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to another session of Read the Word. Oh my goodness, are we going to read some word today? I actually studied a little bit on this one. We're going to cover 25 chapters in one setting. 25 years, not chapters. 25 years of Samuel's life in one setting. And we're going to see Israel really messed up. The ark gets captured. Samuel is judged. And Israel asks for a king. So we're in for quite a ride. Hang on. I request that everyone keeps your hands and feet inside the ride at all times. Make sure you have your seatbelt on and the harness fastened around your shoulders. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's pray our own prayer that we pray every time we come here. 1 minute opening prayer. Father, soul, and body, to be led by you today so that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith, so that I will be rooted and grounded in love and be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. For I will know the love of Christ as knowledge, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen, and amen. 1 Samuel chapter 4, got to get to it. How I'm going to do this without talking, but watch me. I mean, you know, teaching.
Yes.
And the word of the Lord came to Samuel. Now, if you stop and think about it, came to all Israel. Now, Israel went out to battle against the Philistines and encamped beside Ebenezer. That's not Scrooge. And the Philistines encamped in Aphek. Then the Philistines put themselves in battle array against Israel. When they joined battle, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men of the army in the When the people had come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us, that when it comes among us, it may save us from the hand of our enemies." Wise choice. The presence of God always saves you from your enemies.
Amen.
3:15. So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant with God. Now I got a word for you. God told them where he wanted the Ark of the Covenant to be. It was inside of the tent of meeting. Keep reading. Stop preaching. Verse 5. When the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted so loudly that the earth shook. That's a loud shout. When the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What is the sound of this great shout in the camp of the Philistines?" Then they understood that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp. So the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God has come into the camp." And they said, "Woe to us, for such a thing has never happened before. Woe to us, who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and conduct yourself like men, you Philistines, that you do not become servants of the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Conduct yourselves like men and fight." So the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated. Every man fled to his tent. There was a very great slaughter, and there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. Wow. That's huge.
That's huge.
Also, the Ark of God was captured, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. Verse 12, then a man of Benjamin ran from the battle line. Same day came to Shiloh with his clothes torn and dirt on his head. When he came there, was Eli sitting in a seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the Ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. When Eli heard the noise of the outcry, he said, what does the sound of this tumult mean? And the man came quickly and told Eli. Eli was 98 years old. His eyes were so dim, he could not see. Big difference between him and Moses.
Okay.
All right. Then the man said to Eli, I am he who came from the battle. I said today from the battle line. And he said, what happened, my son? Messenger answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistines. There's been a great slaughter among the people. Also, your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. God, then it happened when he made mention of the ark that Eli fell off the seat backwards by the side of the gate, and his neck was broken, and he died. For the man was old and heavy. He had judged Israel for 40 years. 19. Now his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child due to be delivered. And when she heard the news that the Ark of God was captured, that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and gave birth, for her labor pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the woman who stood by her said to her, do not fear, for you have borne a son. And she did not answer, nor did she regard it. Then she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory has departed from Israel, because the Ark of God had been, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory has departed from Israel, for the Ark of the Covenant has been. Chapter 5. Then the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. When the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. I love this story because of the effect of a wooden carved image next to our God. Yes, there's no match. Verse 3, and when the people of Ashdod arose early in the morning, there was Dagon fallen on his face to the earth before the Ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon and set him back up in his place and said, listen here, Dagon, don't fall down in. For when they rose early in the morning, this time he was fallen on his face to the ground before the Lord. The head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were broken off on the threshold. Only Dagon's torso was left. He's a chunk of wood. Leave him alone. Let him die. Crush him. Verse 5. Neither the priest of Dagon nor any who came into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon and to this day, because it freaked him right out. And it should have. Verse number 6. But the hand of the Lord was heavy on the people of Ashdod, and he ravaged them and struck them with tumors, both Ashdod and its territory. And when the men of Ashdod saw how it was, they said, the Ark of Israel must not remain with us, for his hand is harsh toward us, and Dagon, our God. They didn't turn to God, they stood with the devil. Don't do that. Keep going. Verse 8. They gathered, therefore they sent and gathered the Philistines and said, what shall we do with the Ark of the God of Israel? They answered, let the Ark of the God of Israel be carried away to Gath. We don't like them guys anyways. So they carried the Ark of the Lord of Israel away. So it was after they had carried it away that the hand of the Lord was with great destruction, and he struck the men of the city, both small and great, and tumors broke out on them. That'll change your mind.
Yeah.
Therefore, at verse 10, they sent the Ark of God to Ekron. So it was, as the Ark of God came to Ekron, that the Ekronites cried out, saying, "They have brought the Ark of the God of Israel to us to kill us and our people." These people respected this, didn't they? They really did. Now, so they gathered together in all the lords of the Philistines and said, "Send away the Ark of the God of Israel. Let it go back to its own place so that it does not kill us and our people. For there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy, and the men who did not die were stricken with the tumors, and the eye of the city went up to heaven." Wow. Chapter number 6. The ark is returned to the Lord. Now the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priest and the divine, saying, "What shall we do with the ark of the Lord? Tell us how we should send it to the place." They said, "If you send away the ark of the God of Israel, do not send it away empty. By all means, return it to him," capitalized him, "with a trespass offering. Then you will be healed and will be known to you why his hand is not removed from you." Interesting statement. Then they said, "What is the trespass offering which we shall return to him?" They answered, 5 golden tumors and 5 golden rats, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines, for the same plague was on all of you and on your lords. I'm going to tell you right now, God doesn't want a golden tumor or a golden rat. He has no desire for either of those two. All right? Verse 4. Then they said, "What is the trespass offering which we shall return to him?" Answered 5. Oh, we already read that. Verse 5. "Therefore you shall make images of your tumors and images of your rats that ravage the land, and you shall give glory to the God of Israel. Perhaps he will lighten his hand from your gods and from your land. Why then do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? When he did mighty things among them, did they not let the people go that they might depart?" Verse 7. "Now therefore, make a new cart. Take 2 milk cows, which you have never been yoked. Hitch the cows to the cart. Take their calves home away from them. Then take the ark of the Lord and set it on the cart and put the articles of gold, which you are returning to him as a trespass offering, in its chest by its side." "Then send it away and let it go." Verse 9. "And watch. If it goes up to the road to its own territory, to Beth Shemesh, then he has done us the great evil. But if not, then he shall know that if it is not his hand that struck it, us, happened to us by chance." Then the men did so. They took 2 milk cows and hitched them to the cart and shut up their calves at home. And they set the ark of the Lord on the cart, and the chest with the gold rats and the images of their tumors. Then the cows headed straight for the road to Beth Shemesh and went along the highway lowing as they went and did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them to the border of Beth Shemesh. Now the people of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley, and they lifted their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. Now let's pause for a minute and just talk about this. I'm doing good, so I got a little time. 1544, the ark of God, when it showed up in the community, brought great abundance and great blessing to that community. And we'll see it a little bit later in the First Samuel that in the house of whatever that guy's name is, he was blessed abundantly because the ark of God was in his house, and he was blessed so much when it was time to move the ark that he said, I'm going to go with it to the city of Jerusalem so I can take care of the ark. These guys had that much great respect for the ark. Verse 14, then the ark came into the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh and stood there. A large stone was there. So they split the wood of the cart and offered the cows as a burnt offering to the Lord. The Levites took down the ark of the Lord and the chest that was with it, in which were the articles of gold, and put them on the large stone. Then the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and made sacrifices the same day to the Lord. So when the five lords of the Philistines had seen it, they returned to Ekron the same day. These are the golden tumors which the Philistines returned as a trespass offering to the Lord, and for Ashdod, one for Gaza, one for Ashkelon, one for Gath, and one for Ekron. And the golden rats, according to the number of all the cities of the Philistines, belonging to the five lords, both fortified cities and country villages, even as far as the large stone of Abel, on which they set the ark of the Lord, which alone remains to this day in the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh. Then he struck the men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. He struck 50,070 men of the people, and the people lamented because the Lord had struck the people with a great slaughter. Don't have as much time as I thought I had doing. Verse 20, and the men of Beth Shemesh said, who is able to stand before this holy Lord? And they fasted that day. Where am I at? And to whom shall it go up from us? So they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kirjath-Jearim, saying, the Philistines have brought back the ark of the Lord. Come down and take it up with you. Chapter 7, 1850. Then the men of Kirjath-Jearim came, took the ark of the Lord, brought it into the house of Abinadab on the hill, not Abinadab in the valley. He's the guy on the hill. And consecrated Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. That's interesting. So it was, the ark remained in Kirjath-Jearim a long time. It was there 20 years.
Wow.
20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Samuel spoke to the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Asherahs from among you, and prepare your heart for the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Asherahs, and serve the Lord only. Help us, Jesus. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water, poured it out before the Lord. And they fasted that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. Now, when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. Samuel took a suckling lamb, offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Verse 10, now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to the battle of Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel by thunder. I love it. Verse 11. And when the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as Beth Kar. That's very funny. I know a lady named Beth Kar. Right. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen, called its name Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped. We'll see if she's listening today, because she might be. I'll find out. Verse 13. So the Philistines were subdued. They did not come anymore under the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. That means while Samuel reigned, he, because of who he was, God answered Samuel's prayers because he was righteous. We read in chapter number 2 that it said that Samuel, God kept all of his words and let none of them fall to the ground. Now, here we go, verse 14. Then the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron to Gath, and Israel recovered its territory from the hands of the Philistines. Also, there was peace between Israel and the Amorites, and Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. He went from there from year to year on a circuit to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. But he always returned to Ramah, for his house was there. Then he judged Israel, and there he built an altar to the Lord. Now, 23:38. The Ark of the Covenant was supposed to be in one place. It wasn't supposed to be touring the countryside. But God's presence was on that ark because that's where God inhabited. And so that's why nobody wanted to mess with it. Nobody wanted to touch it. Mess is the wrong word. Nobody even wanted to touch it because of God Almighty who lived on the inside. Now, chapter 8, Israel demands a king. Came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel. The name of his second, Abijah. And they were judges in Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes and perverted justice, sort of like Eli's kids. All the elders of Israel gathered and came to Samuel at Ramah. said to him, look, you are old. Your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. The thing displeased Samuel when they said it, give us a king to judge us. Samuel prayed to the Lord. The Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done, since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day with which they have forsaken me, served other gods, so are they doing to you also. Now therefore, heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them. What's he telling them? He's telling them it's fixing to get bad. And show them the behavior of the king. Verse 10. So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king. And he said, this will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots and to be his horsemen, and some will run before his chariots. He will appoint captains over his thousands, captains over his fifties, will set some to plow and reap his harvest and some to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers. He will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, your olive groves, and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officers and his servants. He'll take your male servants, your female servants, your finest young men, your donkeys, and put them to his work. He will take a tenth of your sheep, and you'll be his servants. And you will cry out in that day because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourself. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Pretty serious, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, no, but we will have a king over us, that we may also be like all the nations, that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he repeated them in the hearing of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, heed their voice, make them a king. And Samuel said to the men of Israel, every man, go to his city. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. May God add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, this is what we do in every time that we come together. Now, I want you to think about this. They didn't follow the judges. They did follow Joshua, but didn't drive the enemy out. And now they don't get what's going on. And because of it, they're like, well, we want to be like every nation of the world. Give us a king. And it doesn't matter. When God says don't do it, then the answer is don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing you can do except listen, because it's going to get bad if you don't. Now, God bless Saul and David and all the kings. And they ruled seriously. David was one of the greatest kings. Well, because of David, there will always be a king from his lineage reigning over Israel. But obey God. It's like right now, we're getting ready to pray the prayer of salvation. The wisest thing you can do is to pray that prayer. It's the wisest thing you can do. It changes your whole life. like changes your whole life. So you're not joining the church. You're not joining a denomination. You're not joining an organization. You are coming to an understanding of who our God and our Father is. And you're restoring that relationship with Him. Are you ready? Pray this prayer with me. God, and let's see. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16. When I believe in you, you give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting
and
life.
I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose for me on the third day.
And you rose for me on the third day.
Put your hands out and just say it. I receive you into my life right now.
I receive you into my life right now, Lord.
In every area.
In every area.
I receive your Lordship.
I receive your Lordship.
And you being my Father.
And you being my Father.
All of your love.
All of your love.
All of your mercy.
All of your mercy.
All of your grace.
All of your grace.
All of your righteousness.
All of your righteousness.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful
as
life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. Welcome to the family of God. 32. Hey, Pastor, what's going on? You just went from darkness to light, fear to faith, from your sin to Jesus' righteousness. Why? Jesus is the light of the world, and he just came in. You're asking. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, and you just invited him in. Jesus. And all of his righteousness came to make you the temple of the living God, and you're as white as snow, as pure as can be before the Lord God Almighty.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And then the Father said, adopt them into the family so that they will know me. Now, on the inside, you're saying there's something going on. Yeah. You got Jesus' righteousness, and you became an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Just like that. An heir of Almighty God. That's a powerful thing. And you might not understand it, but we got some great teachings on it that will help you come to that understanding in your life. And so we encourage you to get in contact with us, and we'll help you walk with God every day of your life in Jesus' mighty name. Remember this. 1 Samuel is when the whole Old Testament comes to life. In about four more days, we're going to read some prophets. We're going to read some Psalms. We're going to be putting the history to this. And it's going to be a great study. Don't miss any days. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, that's not all I got to say, but it's all I'm going to say this time. So, as we say every time we come here, email me, hgpreacherman@gmail.com. Send me a postcard, a letter, P.O. Box 4315, Williston, North Dakota, 58802. Until then, remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you. And Jesus is
Lord.
See you soon. Tomorrow morning, remember, there's communion on Sunday. Not tomorrow, Sunday morning. communion on Sunday morning. In Jesus' mighty name.